Okay, so it's the Monday after your lockdown weekend. And as always, we touch base with the Premier of the Western Cape to look at a couple of COVID-19 related issues. Premier Wendy, good to have you on the show.
Morning, Kino. What a weekend. But yeah, good to be with you. Thanks.
I drove around, and let me tell you.
You weren't allowed to drive around.
Yes, I was. I can check to see what's happening. You're a funny man. No, Alan, I saw some really worrying stuff, and we'll
Absolutely.
Talk we'll talk around that. I think the big one at the moment is that we now have COVID-19 cases in Mitchells Plain and Khayelitsha. And we were talking about this last week, saying, you know, when we're dealing with the suburbs, etc., people have the luxury of social distancing. Unfortunately, in places like Khayelitsha, places like Mitchells Plain, we have a lot of backyard dwellers. This is not the case.
Absolutely.
So how does this affect your current model that you've been looking at?
So obviously, I mean, you know, as we said last week, I mean, we really, really are, we do value the lockdown because it does help us, and it definitely will. And maybe I should start off by really thanking everybody who has, you know, adhered to the rules. And also thank all of those organizations, companies, people who've come out. I mean, I was there was a WhatsApp chat this morning with Suzanne Ackerman that we gave out. So obviously, I mean, you know, as we said last week, I mean, we really, really are, we do value the lockdown because it does help us, and it definitely will. And maybe I should start off by really thanking everybody who has, you know, adhered to the rules. And also thank all of those organizations, companies, people who've come out. I mean, there was a WhatsApp chat this morning with Suzanne Ackerman that we gave out fine space. And even if they live in an informal space, I mean, lockdown is actually not possible. It's not possible to get to water. It's not possible to get to sanitary services if you are in an informal settlement. I know that we're going to be having a separate discussion on this today in Cabinet, but it is a big, big challenge for us. And as you say, now the weekend's big issue and headache was that we've got our first case in Khayelitsha. Yesterday was a frantic running around trying to make sure we trace every single person that this individual has come into contact with, also test the family, move the family into an isolation space and not in the backyard in which they were living, and then also testing all the family and then going through the contacting of so many contacts that this person has come into contact with in the last week or so.
How many contacts has this one person come into contact with, do we know?
I don't know for sure, but it'll be a long, long list. And there were many people running around yesterday, busy going through that list. Sitting down once that happens, saying, tell us who you've been in contact with for the last week. Even that is not that easy, because you've got to work it down to a taxi, what time that taxi was. You can't remember whose taxi it was. I mean, it is pretty hectic. But that's, of course, what the teams are doing. Also finding other ways. There's quite a few people who have come forward with technology solutions on tracking and tracing, and of course using our existing health workers, community health workers, you know, out there walking the streets, knocking on doors, confirming that you were on that bus or you actually met this person in that space, and then, you know, without freaking anybody out, you know, trying to get people to then isolate and then go through a process of testing. It's difficult. None of this is easy stuff. But that's, of course, what we've got to do, and we've all got to face this, and that's why we come together every single day at 10 o'clock with our work streams. That's why we get a new challenge today, and we tackle that challenge, and hopefully we find a solution in the next day or two, and we move on to the next one.
This thing moves, it's exponential.
Correct.
So if you don't find people quickly, and we're looking at high-intensified areas, it looks like you're going to have a problem on your hands, Alan.
Correct. This is the big question that we've been asking ourselves for the last week and still asking ourselves. You know, hygiene practices, you say, follow good hygiene practices, wash your hands before you go out, wash your hands when you come back, only go out to do essential shopping. But if you live in an informal settlement, I mean, that's just about nigh impossible.
Okay. What about Mitchell's Plain? How many people there at the moment?
Also, so now we've got five cases in Mitchell's Plain. and that too. Obviously, not informal settlement space, but also, you know, high density, and that has been South Africa's, you know, biggest issue. Is how do we, and I'm pretty certain that was the driving force to eventually get our country into a lockdown, was that we do have such big risks.
Now, when you're faced with something like this, you look at densified areas. Now, we will talk to Minister Simmers later about the de-densification. That's going to be another challenge in and of itself. Getting people to move, getting people to move to other spaces willfully is or willingly is going to be a challenge for government. But how does this change exactly what you now need to focus on now that the high density areas have been hit? We spoke about the, what is it, the respirators, the ventilators last week.
That doesn't change any of those models. I mean, those models were modeled on, you know, our densities versus densities in other parts of the world, et cetera. All of those models, that doesn't change them at all. And it hasn't changed our focus. Obviously, it's now just shown that we've moved to the next trigger point. But also, it does raise questions within our work streams as to, number one is how do we get better discipline? Number two, what do we do around hygiene practices? Do we need to find more water tankers? Do we need to get different kinds of mechanisms of just basic hygiene mechanisms? We're busy working on one at the moment where we actually use the health program where they normally use it for the hot months around, when lots of babies get diarrhea.
Yeah.
They've got a bottle system with hand washing mechanisms. And now how do we ramp that up? So we started that last week. It'll be interesting to see how far we've got and whether that is also making a difference. And then, of course, mapping and tracking to see where the next hotspot is predicted and then trying to get ahead of the curve.
Now, I spoke to a couple of the law enforcement officials, some of the army, some of the police in places like Joe Slovo and Dunoon. And I see a big concentration of officers and lots of cars, you know, in one concentrated area. And I see that the suburbs generally seem to get a bit of a free pass. In the last 4 or 5 days, I've seen nothing in that Blouberg area, for example. And some residents are now thinking that they can get away with it. And some bright sparks have decided that they can take their kids for a little cycle on the road, a bit of a jog, and even walk the dog. So would I be fair in assuming that we don't have enough resources to cover this?
Well, of course we don't, Kirk. You know, we've got 20,000 police officers in the province and 7 million people.
Yeah.
So we've got to concentrate our law enforcement and our police officers and our military where they need it most. And, of course, if you think about Friday and Saturday's complaints, it was about people who either don't know about this or a massive amounts of people out in the street. And, of course, that's where the force would have gone to. And then people, as you say, take chances in other areas. I can't tell you how many emails I still get about walking my dog. I mean, I think we also need as citizens, this is not about a policing issue. It cannot be about a policing issue. And it's also about not in my backyard.
Yeah.
Or in the front of my building, guys, the front of my building. But we also need people to start perhaps playing more the citizen role. Hashtag not cool. We need to be saying to citizens, so you sneak out and you go and we must first of all think about other people who can't just sneak out. In these highly densified areas, which we started this conversation on, these are the people we're trying to protect, number one. But even if you decide, well, I'm going to sneak out with my kids and we're going for a quick bike ride, and something happens on the way, number one, and the next thing you are the person that takes this virus straight back into your home.
Yeah.
That's just not responsible at all. It also doesn't really help people who are battling through this in apartments, in flats, in close proximity, in high density, and even in shacks when they suddenly see, oh, well, there, look at Mr. Privileged out there doing his bike ride. That doesn't help us as society either. And we all need to do this together. We need to we need to point out to each other, guys, this is not cool. Come on, let's pull together, as so many people are doing.
Now, Premier Makur, not to now compare you to other premiers, but let me. he was on news yesterday going, well, actually, a lot of our highways are now going to get more roadblocks, more frequent roadblocks. We don't see much of that. Yesterday, the N7 had one. Lots of officers there, but that was it.
57 roadblocks yesterday.
57? And where were they? Mainly on where?
They were on main arterials across the province.
Main arterials across the province. Okay, so those definitely being done. It looks like McCrew then followed your lead.
No, I wouldn't say that, because remember, the mostly the blocks are not McCrew or I. They're run by the South African Police Service, who are neither of us have control of it. Yeah. But, of course, we all play a role in oversight, and
yes,
we all, I presume he's also in his joint operations commands, as I am in those meetings.
Okay. And then, we need to wrap. I know you've got to go, so a quick one from Hayden in Grassy Park. Hayden?
Good day, Kino.
Hi.
2 weeks now, no dirt being collected. What's going to happen to that?
Okay, so no dirt collected in Grassy Park. I mean, there is a health and safety issue at stake here, Alan.
A really serious question. I know something that we did raise with the city when we met them last. I'll raise it again, but obviously this is a city issue. I know that sometimes it's difficult to get people out now onto the trucks and things, but it is a big issue. And it's, refuse removal and dealing with, infected materials, it is a big thing. We cannot have the flu distributed via, not collecting bins, and then imagine someone going through a bin where you've actually got you self-isolating, but your tissues are in that bin. I mean, that it really needs to be dealt with. I will raise it again, and maybe when you've got someone from the city on, you can also ask that question, because we actually have to have a strict system of collection.
And of course, just a reminder, of course, Premier Alan Windey with us. The Premier can speak to the national command, can make suggestions, does not obviously tell the police and the army and law enforcement where to go. And it's something we'll continue talking about. I'll WhatsApp you a bit later around the homeless as well. But I want to chat to Minister Tertia Simmers, who's going to be.
Have you seen the rows of tents under the freeways?
Yep.
Today and tomorrow, some big tents. The mayor was out with Minister DeLille over the weekend identifying land.
Yeah.
Lots of stuff is happening.
Brilliant.
And there was a four-hour meeting with police yesterday. I had a late-night call with Minister Vicky Clearly. One thing is we got lots of issues to work through. But we've all got to do this together.
Exactly, and we need to support. And well done to you and the team, by the way. Just everything that we've seen thus far has been absolutely sterling.